வீரர். أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد all praises and thanks are due to Allah we praise him we seek his help and we beg for his forgiveness We seek Allah's refuge from our evil deeds. Whomever Allah guides cannot be led astray. And whomever is led astray shall find none other than to guide him. I bear witness that none has the right to be worshipped but Allah alone, who has no partner. And I bear witness that Prophet Muhammad peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, is his slave and messenger. We begin by glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and by praising him for the opportunity to converge here in Maitama Islamic Center As-Salam Masjid in Maitama Abuja this evening in order to have a discussion on a very important topic which has been selected by the management of the masjid, that is to speak on the artificial intelligence challenges and opportunities for the ummah, or artificial intelligence opportunities and challenges. Furthermore, permit me to use the opportunity once again to appreciate the leadership of this Islamic Center, particularly the Executive Secretary and the Imam, for creating time out of no time to invite me almost 2 months before Ramadan. And secondly, for creating time once again to visit me during our tafsir at An-Nur Masjid in Ramadan to remind me about their invitation. And sadly, for reaching out to me even after Ramadan to remind me about the invitation on 3 different occasions. They have been consistent on doing that. I pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward them along with other members and leaders of the masjid with Jannatul Firdaus. And may Allah Ta'ala make what we intend to present beneficial to humanity. Today is 11 of Zulqa'dah, 1445 after the Hijrah of our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam from Mecca to the city of Medina. The topic of our presentation vindicates to us clearly that the leadership of the masjid knows the priority and preference of our ummah, particularly in this global village that we all live in. We need to create more awareness that masjid should not only be restricted to praying 5 daily prayers only, teaching maybe how to pray, how to fast, and also the do's and don'ts of marriage among others. I'm not undermining these teachings of Islam. However, I only want to emphasize that masjid should be a center where we will discuss the challenges being confronted by our ummah, not only religiously, but technologically, economically, politically, and many more. And this topic is one of the challenges being confronted by our ummah, particularly in this technological advancement that we are all witnessing. We need to also remind ourselves that our forefathers adopted this approach when it comes to their religion. That is why you will discover that for over 1,000 years, our forefathers were the intellectual giants of this world, not only religiously, but technologically, economically, socially, and in any form of advancement. Our forefathers were the intellectual giants. They did not restrict their lives to only teaching how to pray, how to fast, and the do's and don'ts of marriage among others. But they excelled when it comes to acquiring worldly knowledge. If I want to prove this further, I can remind you that the first university established in the world originated from a masjid. The second university established in the world, not only in the Arab world, in the whole world, originated from another masjid. And the third university established in the world was founded by a masjid. The first three universities in the world, all over the world, originated from three masajids. These are Masjid al-Qarawin in Morocco, Fez, Morocco, Masjid al-Azhar in Cairo, Egypt, and Masjid Zaytuna. The three universities are University of Qarawin, originated from Masjid al-Qarawin. The second university, Jami'atul Azhar, University of Azhar in Cairo, originated from Jami'ul Azhar. And the third university, University of Zaytuna, originated from Masjid Zaytun. These are the three oldest universities globally. And all of them were produced by three masajid. And it was after over a century that the first university after this was established in Italy, University of Bologna. Years later, Oxford University was established, Cambridge University, and more than two centuries, the first university in America was established, that is Harvard University. But definitely, the first university to be established in the world originated from the Muslim community. So Muslim Ummah produced the first university in the world, the second university in the world, and the third oldest university in the world. This is to show to us that our forefathers did not restrict their masajid only to praying five obligatory prayers, observing Friday prayer, but rather they are masajid were the centers of intellectual discussion. They were the centers of intellectual discussion, the centers of technological advancement, and the centers of technological innovation and entrepreneurship. There is no time to speak on this on a larger scale. But if you go through history, you will discover that there is no doubt about this argument. Even the United Nations under UNESCO has proven beyond doubt that the first and the oldest university in the world was produced and established by the Muslim Ummah. It is because of this, I always encourage us to make our masajid to be the center of learning the Quran, learning the Sunnah of Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, the center of upbringing of our younger ones, the center of intellectual discussion when it comes to technology, when it comes to governance, when it comes to economy, when it comes to whatever you think of. And this is what our forefathers did, and they excelled in the world, and they became the intellectual giants of their time, where other people and other civilizations were emulating them. Furthermore, in order to simplify my presentation, I intend to follow a 7-step algorithm superficially, because we only have 1 hour for our discussion. Number one, an introduction of artificial intelligence. Number two, the universality of knowledge in Islam. Number three, an aspect of intelligence in the Quran. Number four, AI programming and its opportunities. Number five, the opportunities we have for the Ummah. Number six, the challenges. Number seven, conclusion. May Allah Ta'ala guide us aright. Number one, an introduction of what artificial intelligence is all about. According to the World Economic Forum and other institutions of learning, we can safely say artificial intelligence is a simulation of human intelligence processes by machines or by computer systems. What artificial intelligence is all about? This is a work being executed by a human being. Now, we develop a computer system that can do the work the same way a human being performs, or even better. So when a system substitutes a human being in executing a function, then we can call it an artificial intelligence. This is a work being done by a human being. So now we want to have a machine that will allow that machine to do the work without in any way involving a human being to do it from the beginning to the end. The best he can do is to operate the machine to do it. So any system that can substitute human being to do any form of a job, particularly if that system is associated with ICT, we can call it an artificial intelligence. And there are many of them. We have many expert systems in medical line, in education, in agriculture, in manufacturing, in security, in economy, in governance. So there are many expert systems that are being deployed today, and they can perform the way and manner we execute in certain situations even better than how we perform the action. Don't be surprised if I say it can do better than us. There are some areas of health that today an artificial intelligence is performing better than a human being. One thing we need to remind ourselves, that artificial intelligence has been developed by a human intelligence. So the artificial intelligence itself is a product of a human intelligence. So whatever we see that is mind-boggling in artificial intelligence, that is amazing in artificial intelligence, that will go a long way in proving to us the existence of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the artificial intelligence is a product of human intelligence. It doesn't create itself. It doesn't develop itself. It is a human being who develops an artificial intelligence system. So it proves to us that Allah Ta'ala is the source of all knowledge. And even if it performs better than a human being, we need to remind ourselves that that artificial intelligence has been developed by a human intelligence. Are you following? So we have expert systems. We have speech language. We have language systems. We have voice systems, among others. So there are many areas of artificial intelligence. What we are witnessing today with regard to the advancement of artificial intelligence is really amazing. What is happening today with the advancement of Google AI, ChatGPT, or of recent, only 5 days ago, another one was launched, GPT-4o, OpenAI, and many more. What we are witnessing today has not been predicted 20 years ago. And what we are witnessing today, 10 years ago, nobody predicted. The exploding of artificial intelligence, which is beyond human imagination, is really, really amazing. And artificial intelligence is about to make many people to be unemployed and to make many others unemployable. And also it will make many to be employable. And it will also make many to be employed. However, I always argue that artificial intelligence in itself will not make anybody unemployable or unemployed. But people that are developing artificial intelligence and those that are deploying artificial intelligence to do the work are the ones that will take away your job away from you. They will take over your job. Artificial intelligence in itself cannot make you unemployed. But experts in AI, people who master AI and perform their job with AI, will take over your job away from you. But not the system itself. Because it doesn't develop itself and it doesn't operate itself. There should be someone who develops it, and there should be someone who at least operates it. So these are the people that will take over your job, not artificial intelligence in itself. Are you following? Furthermore, if we are to go briefly, artificial intelligence is part and parcel of the fourth industrial revolution, what is called 4IR, or Industry 4.0. The world is witnessing the advancement of the fourth industrial revolution with the emergence of artificial intelligence, robotics, machine learning, deep learning, autonomous vehicle, virtual reality, augmented reality, blockchain technology, cyber security, 5G, nanotechnology, biotechnology, cloud computing, quantum computing, and many more. These are all part and parcel of the fourth industrial revolution, which commenced at the initial stage of the 21st century. We have been part and parcel of the fourth industrial revolution in the last 23 to 24 years. And based on the modern history, we experienced, or the world experienced, the fourth industrial revolution in the 18th century, particularly in Manchester and Liverpool in the United Kingdom, with the invention of what is called steam power or steam engine. Then the second industrial revolution happened in the 19th century, in the United Kingdom, Belgium, Germany, and France. An insignificant part of it took place in the United States of America. In the Second Industrial Revolution, the world witnessed the invention of electricity, mass production, the invention of transistor, the invention of radio, the invention of television, among others. While the world witnessed the Third Industrial Revolution in the 20th century through the invention of Internet, World Wide Web, websites, and particularly the technological advancement that reduced the world into a global village or into a global theater. So you will realize that ICT brought about the Third Industrial Revolution, and by extension, the Fourth Industrial Revolution is about ICT, or to put it aptly, is about digital technologies. So the Fourth Industrial Revolution is an extension of the Third Industrial Revolution. Are you following? So the world is witnessing the Fourth Industrial Revolution through the invention of artificial intelligence, or rather the advancement of artificial intelligence. Because artificial intelligence started in the Third Industrial Revolution around 1950, that is 74 years ago. And the term or the phrase artificial intelligence was coined in 1956 by one of the leading scholars of ICT from Massachusetts Institute of Technology by name John McAfee in a workshop. So he brought the two words together and reconciled them. The first word is artificial, while the second is intelligence. So he reconciled, he married the two words together to form a phrase of artificial intelligence in 1956. You can say around 50, 68 years ago. That is the first time that the phrase emerged. However, if you go through history, you will discover that there was a form of artificial intelligence through the technological advancement that took place in Andalus, the modern-day Spain, Portugal, and some parts of France, when our forefathers established Biladul Andalus. You will discover that there is a form of artificial intelligence in the way and manner they established many Islamic centers, particularly in Cordoba, in Sevilla, in Mallorca, Granada, among others. You will discover that in most of the centers, you will discover there was a form of artificial intelligence when it comes to calling to prayer like Al-Adhan. The way and manner they pray, even the way they amplify the voice of the Imam, you will discover a masjid was containing over 10,000 congregations, over 10,000 Muslims at once, without any sound system. Imam could be able to convey each and every message on his pulpit or during prayer to the congregation. It was through a form of an artificial intelligence. The same with the building of pyramids in Egypt. Over 3,000 ago, some of them were built. In the construction of the pyramids, history has vindicated recently that they used a form of artificial intelligence to build the pyramids among the seven wonders of the world. The same with the advancement that took place in Baghdad, modern-day Iraq. You will discover there is a form of artificial intelligence deployed by our forefathers. Because of time constraint, this will take me to the second stage of our discussion. That is the universality of knowledge. Before we speak on AI on a larger scale, we need to remind ourselves that in Islam, knowledge is universal. There is a universality of knowledge in Islam. One may wish to say, Islam is knowledge, and all sound knowledge is Islam. The two are synonymous. And this synonymity has been mentioned in so many verses in the glorious Quran, that Islam is all about knowledge. Islam is not only restricted to the knowledge of the Quran, Sunnah, Fiqh, and others. Islam is concerned. Islam gives also an attention to the knowledge of science, the knowledge of engineering, the knowledge of medicine, that of law and accounting. Islam is not only about religious knowledge. Islam speaks on a larger scale about worldly knowledge, about what you can call acquired knowledge, knowledge that is being acquired through experiment, through laboratory, through innovation, knowledge that is acquired through advancement in science and technology. Knowledge is about, Islam is about all these things. That is why our forefathers, whenever they speak about knowledge, you will discover they will clearly explain that knowledge is broadly classified. Firstly, the religious knowledge, the knowledge of Sharia, the knowledge of the Quran, the knowledge of Sunnah, that of Fiqh, how to pray, how to fast, how to perform pilgrimage, the knowledge of do's and don'ts with regards to our marriage. All these things are called religious knowledge. And also there is what is called worldly knowledge or acquired knowledge. So artificial intelligence is part and parcel of the worldly knowledge. That is why if you go through history, you will discover those who invented the modern knowledge when it comes to anatomy or physiology were Muslims. The knowledge of anatomy, physiology, the knowledge of geography, the knowledge of oceanology, the knowledge of embryology, you will discover that our forefathers initiated the modern investigation into all these forms of knowledge. Why? Because they are part and parcel of the worldly knowledge. That is why His Eminence, Imam Shafi'i, may Allah have mercy on him, described medicine as half of knowledge. Because if you review Al-Islam wal-Ilmul Maddi, in the Quran, more than 750 verses in the glorious Quran speak about acquiring knowledge. And this knowledge is not restricted only to our religious knowledge, but rather both religious and worldly knowledge. Before we speak on this on a larger scale, we need to remind ourselves that Allah Ta'ala has given each and every one of us the tools, the gadgets, and the facilities, the human facilities we deploy to acquire knowledge. These are the organ of seeing, our eyes. Number two, the organ of hearing, our ears. Number three, the organs of reasoning and intellectual discussion. That is our brain and our heart. And this is what the Quran enunciates to us by saying, وَاللَّهُ أَخْرَجَكُمْ مِنْ بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ شَيْئًا وَجَعَلَ لَكُمُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارَ وَالْأَفْئِدَةَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. In Surah An-Nahl, verse 97, Allah says, Allah brought you out from the wombs of your mothers. You don't know anything. We didn't know anything the time we were born. And He said, He endowed you, He blessed you, He equipped you with the organs of hearing, your ears, the organ of sight, that is your organ of seeing, your eyes, Wal-af'ida, and the mind you use to reflect. Your mind and your brain, you can say the organs of intellect. These are the two organs of the intellect. That is your mind, your brain, and your heart. Allah Ta'ala says, He gives you this in order to be grateful to Him. So, whether we acquire the knowledge of the Quran or the knowledge of the fourth industrial revolution, we are deploying the organs that Allah Ta'ala has endowed us with to acquire this knowledge. And the Quran describes knowledge in general to us. You can hardly see where the Quran condemns knowledge. That is why knowledge in itself is difficult to become harmful. It usually becomes harmful the way and manner you acquire it or you deploy it. Knowledge in itself is hardly to become harmful. It all depends on how we acquire or how we deploy it. That is where the harmfulness takes place. Not in the way and manner just acquire, the way you deploy it. You can in very few places Allah Ta'ala condemns knowledge. It is only like the knowledge of magic. وَيَتَعَلَّمُونَ مَا يَضُرُّهُمْ وَلَا يَنْفَأُهُمْ. Like in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 102-103. For example, it is only in these places, very few places, you can see that Allah Ta'ala condemns knowledge or describes any form of knowledge as harmful, like the knowledge of magic. They learn what will harm them and will never benefit them. وَيَتَعَلَّمُونَ مَا يَضُرُّهُمْ وَلَا يَنْفَأُهُمْ وَلَقَدْ عَلِمُوا لَمَنِ اشْتَرَاهُ مَا لَهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنْ خَلَاقٍ وَلَبِئْسَ مَا شَرَوْا بِهِ أَنفُسَهُمْ لَوْ كَانُوا يَعْلَمُونَ. Otherwise, knowledge in itself can hardly become harmful. It usually becomes harmful when we deploy it in a negative way, not harmful in itself. That is why if you look at the Quranic verses that command us to acquire knowledge, you will not see any line of demarcation between religious knowledge and worldly knowledge. When Allah Ta'ala integrated and elevated the position of knowledgeable people, you can hardly see any line of demarcation or any partitioning between religious knowledge and worldly knowledge. يَرْفَعِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْإِلْمَ دَرَجَاتٍ. As in Surah Al-Mujadilah, verse 11, Allah Ta'ala elevated those that are blessed with knowledge. There is no any demarcation here, but He says, those that are blessed with knowledge. Are you following? He describes people that are blessed with beneficial knowledge. So, this knowledge could be religious knowledge and it could be worldly knowledge. The knowledge of medicine is not a religious knowledge directly. You may wish to call it a religious knowledge indirectly, but it's a knowledge that when you deploy it responsibly, it is beneficial to humanity. The knowledge of engineering is beneficial to humanity. But it all depends on the way and manner you deploy it. So knowledge in itself could be a double-edged sword. It all depends on how you deploy it. That negativity is not in the knowledge mostly, but rather how we deploy the knowledge. Furthermore, if you look at the verses that command Muslims, that instruct Muslims to acquire knowledge, there is not any demarcation between religious knowledge and the worldly knowledge. Take for example, the first revelation to our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Quran, a very popular surah, Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq, khalaqal insana min alaq, iqra wa rabbuka al-akram alladhi 'allama bil qalam 'allama al-insana ma lam ya'lam. These five verses of the beginning part of chapter number 96, that is Surah Al-Alaq, explain to us clearly that Allah Ta'ala instructs and commands us to acquire knowledge. But in this, there is no any demarcation between religious knowledge and worldly knowledge. What the Quran says, اِقْرَأْ بِسْمِ رَبِّكَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ. Read in the name of your Lord. This is the command. You are free. You are directed to acquire the knowledge of the Quran, the knowledge of Hadith, the knowledge of science, biology, physics, chemistry, the knowledge of medicine, the knowledge of engineering, any form of knowledge. But what is important is for you to acquire that knowledge in the name of Allah. So any knowledge you intend to acquire, any research you intend to embark upon, the first thing you should do is to do that in the name of your Lord. That is the command. And in these verses, you will clearly see Quran doesn't discriminate between the religious knowledge and the worldly knowledge. اِكْرَأْ بِسْمِ رَبِّكَ الَّذِي خَلَقْ خَلَقَ الْإِنسَانَ اِقْرَأْ وَرَبُّكَ الْأَكْرَمُ الَّذِي عَلَّمَ عَلَّمَ الْإِنسَانَ مَا لَمْ يَعْلَمْ. This is to show to us that in Islam, knowledge is universal. There is universality of knowledge in Islam. So it is because of this, even describing the knowledge we acquire as Western education definitely is misleading. Why? Because Allah is the source of all knowledge. And He commands us to acquire knowledge. And He gives us the facilities, the human tools we deploy to acquire knowledge. And He also directs us to make use of the intellect and the organs to experiment what is in the heavens and what is in the earth. قُلْ انْظِرُوا مَاذَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا تُغْنِي الْآيَاتُ وَالنُّذُرُ عَنْ قَوْمٍ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. This is in Surah Yunus, verse 101. Allah Ta'ala says, قُلْ انْظِرُوا, experiment, observe, partake in a research of what is in the heavens and the earth. And He says, this investigation will not benefit people who have no faith. Meaning that knowledge in itself can only be beneficial to you when you believe in the Almighty. Many people who do not believe in the Almighty, the more they acquire knowledge, the more they see many evidences to convince them beyond any doubt about the existence of Allah, the more they run away from that. Look at the research conducted by late Stephen Hawking. If this research is conducted by someone who believes in Allah, definitely that will increase the level of your faith. But some people do not benefit. Why? It is because they don't believe in Allah. That is why we are free to acquire any form of knowledge that is beneficial to humanity. But in the course of doing that, we must do it in the name of the Almighty. And this is indeed very important. This takes me to the next stage of our discussion. That is the form of some forms of intelligence, natural and natural artificial intelligence in the Quran. I spoke on this superficially by citing three examples with Andalus, the modern day Spain, Baghdad, and also Cairo, or rather Egypt. If you look at the Quran, whether it is human intelligence or natural intelligence or artificial intelligence, the Quran clearly commands Muslims to make use of an intelligence. That is why the people that are going to be admitted into the blazing fire on the day of Qiyamah, when they are questioned, they say, because we fail to deploy our organs of hearing and our intelligence to take decision. لَوْ كُنَّا نَسْمَعُ أَوْ نَأْقِلُ مَا كُنَّا فِي أَصْحَابِ السَّعِيرِ. This is in Surah Al-Mulk, verse 10. Look at it. They complain that they failed to deploy these two organs. The organs of hearing and the organs of intellectualism. That is the intelligence. They failed to use their hearing and intelligence. لَوْ كُنَّا نَسْمَعُ أَوْ نَأَقِلُ نَأَقِلُ is intelligence. So the Quran commands Muslims to deploy their hearing and their intelligence. Whether it is human intelligence, whether it is animal intelligence, whether it is natural intelligence of any form, and whether it is an artificial intelligence. Because there is no any demarcation or discrimination here. Furthermore, if you read the Quran, you will discover that Quran speaks on certain form of what you can call human-animal intelligence or human-artificial intelligence or natural-artificial intelligence in so many places. What do I mean by this? I mean, Allah Ta'ala has created human beings, animals, birds, plants, and many more with different functions. But in certain situations, you will discover an animal or a bird is behaving like the way and manner a human intelligence is. Take, for example, the story of Al-Hudahuda, what is called a shoepoint in the Quran. فَمَكَثَ غَيْرَ بَعِيدٍ وَتَفَقَّدَ الطَّيْرَ فَقَالَ مَا لِيَ لَا أَرَى الْهُدَهُدَ أَمْ كَانَ مِنَ الْغَائِبِينَ لَأُعَذِّبَنَّهُ عَذَابًا شَدِيدًا أَوْ لَأَذْبَحَنَّهُ أَوْ لَيَأْتِيَنِّي بِسُلْطَانٍ مُبِينٍ فَمَكَثَ غَيْرَ بَعِيدٍ فَقَالَ أَحَطُّ بِمَا لَمْ تُحِطْ بِهِ وَجِئْتُكَ مِنْ سَبَإٍ بِنَبَإٍ يَقِينٍ إِنِّي وَجَدْتُ امْرَأَةً تَمْلِكُهُمْ وَأُوتِيَتْ مِنْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَلَهَا عَرْشٌ عَظِيمٌ وَجَدْتُهَا وَقَوْمَهَا يَسْجُدُونَ لِلشَّمْسِ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ. If you read the Surah An-Naml from verse 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, five verses, Allah Ta'ala describes to us natural artificial intelligence in this place. Human being is supposed to talk, but Al-Hudahuda was talking the way and manner we speak, using his reasoning. And this is a form of an intelligence. And if you look at what Allah Ta'ala directed the earth and the sky to do in Surah Hud, it's very similar to that. وَقِيلَ يَا أَرْضُ ابْلَعِي مَاءَكِ وَيَا سَمَاءَ اقْلِعِي وَغِيضَ الْمَاءَ وَقُضِيَ الْأَمْرُ وَاسْتَوَتْ عَلَى الْجُودِي. In Surah Hud, verse 44. It was said to the heaven. It was said to the earth to do what? To swallow the water. And it was said to the heaven to withhold the water. Allah Ta'ala spoke to both of them and they followed the direction. If you look at them, they are natural intelligence. But the action they perform is more of a human intelligence. Are you following? So there are so many examples in the Quran where you will see the reconciliation or the intervention, or what we can call where there is an interwoven between human and animal intelligence, or what you can say human and non-human intelligence, or what you can say human and non-human intelligence. And there are so many examples in the Quran. And still they are part and parcel of the intelligence. Are you following? This takes me to the next stage of my discussion briefly. That is to speak on the AI programming and the way and manner artificial intelligence is being deployed to behave and act like a human being. Usually, what artificial intelligence does is to be enriched through acquiring data, developing some rules, following the rules to establish an algorithm, and this algorithm will behave, will act the way and manner natural intelligence behaves and acts. So these skills of human being that artificial intelligence are being provided with are called cognitive skills. Cognitive skills are the skills that artificial intelligence is emulating to behave and act the way and manner we behave and we act. Cognitive skills are the functions over that our brains deploy in order to perform certain activities like reasoning, like computation, like collecting information and evaluating it, like taking decision whether to do or not to. So these skills that our brains deploy to perform these activities are called cognitive skills. And most of them are part and parcel of what we call soft skills, like critical thinking, like strategic thinking, like complex problem solving, like complex decision making, and many more. So our brains use cognitive skills. So AI programming usually is being provided with a huge quantity of data, analyzing this data to come up with some sets of rules. When these rules are established, it will go further to establish some algorithms. And when taking a decision, it will select the best algorithm that is applicable to that situation. And when that algorithm is selected, then it will take a decision the way and manner a human intelligence takes a decision. So these skills are, number one, learning. The AI programming here focuses more on generating data, establishing some rules using the data, building some algorithms. So with that, the artificial intelligence system will learn the way and manner we are learning. Number two, there is reasoning. Reasoning is all about selecting the most appropriate algorithm when it comes to taking decisions. There could be a certain number of algorithms. So when a decision is to be taken, which algorithm is to be selected? If you want to take a decision as a human being, you deploy your natural algorithm to take a decision. The decision you take in your office or in your marketplace may not be the same with the decision you take in your family. So the way and manner you differentiate between your life at home and your life in the office or outside office is about using your natural algorithm of reasoning. You are dressing inside your room at home. It's not the same with your dressing in the masjid. How do you differentiate the clothes you wear in public and that you wear in private is through reasoning. What happened with some of us that are behaving in public the way and manner they are supposed to behave inside their private room is because of problem with their reasoning. So artificial intelligence here will select the best algorithm to use. And it is the same way in your room, you are boxers. In public, you try to cover your body. But some people are older than you, but they come out with their boxers. And they behave outside the way and manner they behave privately. What is their problem? It's selecting their wrong natural algorithm in reasoning. So that is how artificial intelligence behaves. And also there is self-correction. Artificial intelligence will continue improving the algorithms day in, day out in order to correct itself. The way and manner you make a mistake today and tomorrow you amend. That is how it also behaves. So artificial intelligence can make a mistake today, tomorrow it will correct it. And also creativity. what it's all about, innovation, our invention. Artificial intelligence can partake in certain forms of creativity by improving on a daily basis through the quality and quantity of data being generated to help the system in taking a right decision and also coming up with creative ideas, or what we can call thinking outside the box. Today, it will choose an algorithm and it fails. Tomorrow, it will not choose the same one. It will look for another algorithm and improve that algorithm and take another decision. That is thinking outside the box. So artificial intelligence programming is all about executing using cognitive skills similar to that being used by human brain to take these decisions. Are you following? Furthermore, because of time, let me move to the opportunities we have. Artificial intelligence is really exploding today. What we have witnessed in the last 3 years was really unpredictable in the history of mankind. Furthermore, the technological advancement we are witnessing in this fourth industrial revolution is definitely unprecedented in the history of mankind. It is definitely unprecedented, particularly with the emergence of artificial intelligence. With the advancement of artificial intelligence, machine learning, even though machine learning and deep learning are branches of artificial intelligence, because machine learning is dealing with prediction, how artificial intelligence will collect data, use the most relevant algorithm and predict what will happen in the future. So machine learning, deep learning are branches of artificial intelligence. And artificial intelligence, it has also been predicted by McKinsey that in the next few years, artificial intelligence will take over a minimum of 40% of human jobs that exist in the world. A minimum of 40%. Today, based on the investigation and documentation of the United Nations, our world population is approximately 8.1 billion people. So by implication, 40% of these jobs being executed by this population, whether it is a formal or informal jobs, they are going to be taken over by artificial intelligence. And it is also a solo multi-billion dollar subsector, because a research conducted by Precedence Research in 2022, the global market value of artificial intelligence was estimated to be $454 billion, almost the same with the entire gross domestic product of Nigeria as a country which has been dominated by the private sector. And McKinsey has also predicted, and also World Economic Forum, the same with Oxford Economics, that by 2032, the value of artificial intelligence could not be less than $2.5 trillion. While according to McKinsey, the value of artificial intelligence could reach $15 billion. So if it reaches $15 billion, if artificial intelligence were to be a country, it will be the third largest economy globally, after the US and China. The US with a GDP of around $25 trillion, and China with a GDP of around $19.9 trillion, according to the International Monetary Fund as at December 2022. So if artificial intelligence happens to be a country, it will be the third largest economy globally. Furthermore, artificial intelligence today is being deployed towards a research in the Quran and in the Sunnah. So many ahadith and verses were presented to artificial intelligence, and it came out with a mind-boggling result, particularly in terms of precision and accuracy. So artificial intelligence is also relevant in conducting research, not only research with regards to worldly knowledge, but research even with regards to our religion. And at the same time, if Muslim Ummah fails to acquire the knowledge of artificial intelligence, definitely, sooner or later, the enemies of our Ummah will excel in artificial intelligence, and they will mislead the world about our religion. There is no doubt about this. They will definitely mislead the world about the authenticity of our religion and the teachings of our religion. Furthermore, when you ask me, particularly the argument I commenced with, that I don't agree with the opinion that artificial intelligence will make many people unemployed or unemployable. To me, it is not the artificial intelligence that will make people unemployable, but rather people that are experts in artificial intelligence and people who deploy AI in their area are going to make others unemployed and unemployable. Are you following? Because AI doesn't develop itself. AI doesn't operate itself. That is why the way and manner technology is exploding globally, banning technology is not a good idea intellectually. But rather, we need to develop technology responsibly and also regulate technology effectively. Legally and legitimately, that is the solution. Because the way and manner technology is exploding, there is no country that will continue to live in isolation. Banning technology will only slow down the technological advancement of countries, will only slow down the technological advancement, economic advancement, and many more. But it will never be a solution. When we ban a technology for 1 month, it will slow down our technological advancement for more than 1 year. If we ban and stop technology for 1 year, it will also slow down our development, our technological advancement for over 10 years. This is the same, a similar mistake made by some of our pious predecessors that slow down the technological advancement of the Muslim Ummah in the form of ijtihad. Some of them make a wrong opinion about technology. They even consider technology to be the same with the knowledge of magic. وَيَتَعَلَّمُونَ مَا يَضُرُّهُمْ وَلَا يَنْفَعُهُمْ. That happened to be the beginning of our diminishing when it comes to worldly knowledge. And since then, the Muslim Ummah has not regained its position globally. So that is why it is a very wrong opinion for us to stop or to discourage about technology. What we need to do is we need to encourage our young innovators to develop technology responsibly. Get me? Responsibly. And government must regulate technology effectively, legally, and legitimately. This is the only solution. No country will live in isolation. Whatever you say, we don't need it today in this country or in that country. Whether it is legitimate or illegitimate, people will continue to maneuver and patronize it. So, it is definitely not an intellectual idea taking such kind of decisions. We have to develop technology responsibly. Government must regulate technology effectively, legitimately, and legally. By doing that, the technology will be in conformity with our religion on one hand and with the laws of the land on the other. But when we live in isolation, definitely we will not go anywhere. And technology today in the fourth industrial revolution requires us to be proactive, not reactive. We must be proactive. If we are proactive, we will be able to at least be among the world leaders. This is what happened in China. China was not part of the fourth industrial revolution, not part of the second, not part of the third. They only joined the fourth industrial revolution and they happened to be in the forefront. They joined and they happened to be in the forefront. While in government in 2020, we established the first ever National Center for Artificial Intelligence and Robotics in Africa. And the center is titled here in Abuja. The wisdom was to be proactive, to establish an avenue where our young innovators are going to be challenged to develop technology responsibly so that government can regulate it effectively, legally, and legitimately. Technology or artificial intelligence, today one of the areas where it has been vindicated to perform better than a human. If I say better than a human, mean general human, is the area of breast cancer. When it comes to diagnosing breast cancer, recently it has been confirmed that the accuracy and precision of artificial intelligence is over and above a human intelligence. The same in the area of repetitive action, where certain actions are to be repeated day in, day out. The area of computation or calculation, usually artificial intelligence performs better than human intelligence. Don't forget, artificial intelligence has been developed by a human intelligence. So the credit of whatever artificial intelligence achieves is going back to the human intelligence. And by implication, is going back to the creator of the human intelligence, the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when I say generally, I mean with general people. Because among us there are some that are exceptional. For example, there was a competition that was conducted around 20 years ago between a computation done by computer and a human being. A lady from India by name Shakuntala Devi. She did the computation ahead of computer. She beat computer. Shakuntala Devi was born in 1929 and she passed away in 2013. She lived 83 years. In most of the computations, she did and achieved faster than computer with precision and accuracy better than computer. And she did not attend any formal school at advanced level. She did not attend. And this research and competition was conducted even in Oxford University, where she beat a computer system in computation. So that is why when we say artificial intelligence in certain areas performs better than a human being, we mean general people. Among us, some are highly, highly exceptional and talented. And furthermore, whatever artificial intelligence achieves, the credit goes to us because artificial intelligence applications are being developed by what? By a human intelligence. It doesn't develop itself. So this is also very important. So any action that is more detail-oriented, that is towards more detail-oriented result, usually artificial intelligence achieves a better result, better than a human intelligence generally. And this is indeed very important. The same with analysis is the same thing. So artificial intelligence, the opportunities we have in an ummah, firstly, religiously, artificial intelligence today can be developed and it will help us in understanding our religion better. The way recently, a hadith of Utitul Qur'ana wa mithlahu ma'ahu, artificial intelligence was used to confirm the authenticity of this hadith and also the analysis and the content of the hadith. And there are many examples in that area. Secondly, artificial intelligence can go a long way in supporting us economically. The global market value, over $454 billion USD, 2 years ago. Muslim Ummah is in need of economic development. This is an area that we need to encourage our younger ones to excel, either formally or informally. If it is formal, there are many certifications that you may wish to enroll. Encourage your children to enroll, like Microsoft Certified Azure AI Engineer Associate. It's a very important one, particularly at the intermediate level. We have Google AI. Google AI is also a very important certification in artificial intelligence. Also, there is Harvard University Computer Science for AI. It's also very relevant. There is Microsoft AI. Recently, a young Muslim, among the leading AI developers in the world, by name Mustafa Sulaiman. His origin is from Syria, was born and grew up in the UK. He is among the leading young innovators today in AI. He was employed recently by Microsoft, and they appointed him as the CEO of Microsoft Artificial Intelligence. So he is the CEO now. He is less than 40 years old, but he is among the leading researchers. Artificial intelligence, among the opportunities today we have, people that are born or people that happen to have some form of deformity, people that are blind, can use artificial intelligence to communicate, like GPT-4o. They can use it, and it can alleviate most probably 80% of their deformities. And still remember, AI is still in the initial stage of its development. We are still in the initial stage of AI development in the world. But what we are witnessing today is unprecedented. So including people with deformity, they can use AI. AI can support you in decision-making, particularly in complex matters, as long as the data provided to it is authentic and sufficient. So these are some of the areas where we can benefit, and there are so many opportunities for our Ummah. And still our younger ones, going to university, let me give you a $1 billion advice for free. For free. If you like, take it. If you don't like, ignore it. 30, 40 years, our elder brothers, our friends, our fathers, who attended university, at that time they will say, go and read anything. You will go and study history, sociology, political science. If you like, go and study biology, single honor, physics, education. At that time, there was no competition. The labor market was abundant. Vacancies were all over. Before your graduation, opportunities were waiting for you. Some of them were employed before their graduation. Today, because of our population in the world, our population in Nigeria, almost 220 billion people. Our population in Africa, almost 1.4 billion people. Global population, 8.1 billion people. It is no more a time of go and study whatever you wish. It is no more that time. It is no more. That time is over. It is not that time. Please be proactive in selecting your course. It is better to delay joining your university by a year or two to study what is relevant globally, what you are passionate about, than for you to get admitted to study something that is number one, or relevant, and number two, you are not passionate about it. It is not that. Today, if you seek for my advice, look at what is the future of the world. Go and study it. In Nigeria, look at the courses that are determining the future. The privileges your father, your grandfather got by studying whatever they wished, they are no more available except to 0.1% of our population. most of us are from poor background. Because of this, don't destroy your future. You study a course that is irrelevant. After you are graduating, you are interested in working with NNPC. Less than 0.1% of our population do have these privileges. And even they themselves, the privilege could be available at the time you commence your studies. Before you are graduate, it will disappear. The courses that are determining the world, that have been for long and they are still relevant, go and study medical courses. Particularly to be a medical doctor is relevant. We will never discourage this. Go and become a lawyer. This will continue to be relevant. We will not discourage you from doing that. The courses or the technologies that are determining the fourth industrial revolution, they are very relevant. Artificial intelligence, machine learning, deep learning, cyber security, data science, biotechnology, nanotechnology, big data analytics. These are some of the courses that are determining the future. And people studying this are the ones that will take over your job, not the artificial intelligence itself. Furthermore, if you are doing your job today and you don't want AI to take over your job, firstly, learn AI and its application, number one in your area and number two in your sector. Excel in that. The way and manner people that learn computer, only Microsoft and Excel, they took over the work of our secretaries using typewriters at that time. So it is the same thing today. You have to study immediately, be proactive, and know the application of AI in your area of work, and your area of study, and also in the sector where you work. Secondly, look at areas where AI cannot take over all the jobs. This can be categorized into two. Number one, social skills, interpersonal skills. Very critical. The way our prophet says, إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ لِأُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ in Sahihah Hadith number 45. I have been sent in order to perform, to perfect your good moral behavior. So this moral behavior, interpersonal skills, will forever be relevant. Number two, soft skills, like critical thinking, strategic thinking, complex problem solving, among others. They will continue to be relevant. If you are talking about hard skills, they are relevant. But today, a computer can write a source code. Even the source code computer can write today. Today, a computer can write a thesis, PhD thesis, online. Today, you want to present a paper, a computer can do it for you. Hard skills, technical skills are relevant, but definitely, they are not as important as soft skills and social skills. And most of them are not being taught in our institutions of learning. I personally advise the National Universities Commission a year ago, saying that some of the courses that we are introducing, and they are still in our universities, we should be extra careful. There are some courses that are outdated. You don't need them in more than 2 or 4 universities in Nigeria. Because why? The demand has been reduced by more than 90%. So you don't need to be creating new universities, introducing the same courses while there is no opportunities for the graduates. Why are we repeating the same thing? We don't think out of the box. Some courses you need to only retain them in the first generation universities. ABU Zaria, University of Ibadan, University of Nigeria, Nsukka. These are the old generation universities where you need to retain some courses that are not in demand today. And you need to expand the courses that are in demand in the labor market. We need to start producing potential employers through our universities, not potential employees. The system is not about producing potential employees where they will graduate rooming about with their CV. The focus of the world is how to produce potential employers, job providers, not job seekers. This is what fourth industrial revolution is all about. We need to change that perception. There are many challenges with AI. Many challenges. Number one challenge is the issue of bias. What AI presents depends on the quantity and the quality of data presented to it. If the data is biased, the result is going to be biased. Two, the issue of making others to be unemployable and unemployed. I spoke on this, I don't need to repeat it. Number three, the issue of privacy and confidentiality. This is another challenge. That is why in the US, they have commenced the process of regulating AI, particularly in financial institutions and others. In Europe, recently they commenced the process of regulating AI under their GDPR, General Data Protection Regulation. And that is why, as part of our proactiveness in office, in 2023, we established Nigeria Data Protection Commission in Nigeria, and I champion the bill up to the level of becoming a law in Nigeria, because artificial intelligence will challenge our privacy and also our what? Our confidentiality. Number four, if we fail to be active in AI, others will deploy AI and they will ridicule our religion and our life. They will ridicule our religion and our life. So because of this, I challenge each and every one of us to either get involved in AI, formally or informally, and make sure that from primary school, we start introducing artificial intelligence to our children, up to secondary school and universities. This is what is being done in China, Finland, and Switzerland. The issue of critical thinking, complex problem solving, creativity or thinking out of the box, or AI. It's not about university, it's about catch them young. You catch them at the initial stage of their life. So we need to introduce this in our Islamic schools, our formal schools, where our children will be proactive. And they are, to be fair with you, our children, they are more creative than us. Why? Because people in my own category, and our elder brothers, we need to switch from manual to analog to digital within the last four decades. But our children are digital natives, and they are the actual digital species today. They are digital species, and artificial intelligence is also a digital species. So there is a reconciliation between them. The way and manner we need to do adjustment, they don't need to do it. Because it's their own generation. They are digital species, and AI is also a digital species. So there is what? They are interwoven. This is just in summary because of the time constraint. And I believe, no, almost 70 minutes without reminding me. Permit me to shut down the lecture here. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك. If there are questions that are relevant, we can entertain few of them before our Isha prayer, inshallah. Amin wa iyyakum.
I know this lecture has taken most of us back to our university years, and the Prof has described the lecture to be more than a $1 billion lecture delivered for free. The Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards our shares abundantly and also give us the opportunity to make use of what we learned today. We have a lot of questions, but we are not going to take them all because of time after. I have arranged the questions apabila sudah ada dan kemudian terpulang pada lalu jenis ramai sebenarnya dokter until our annual post sales report insyaAllah. The first one says good intention and the right Allah. My question is that is it haram to want to use AI system to get some jobs and claim that they need some jobs? And I think the second question is related to this one. He says, how can we overcome the challenge of AI to university students as it is a potential for our reliance on AI tools? It is to lack of critical thinking and problem solving tools.
So, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu once again. I spoke on the application of AI in academia during a conference organized by a private university named Iconic University in Sokoto in collaboration with the Sokoto State University. Both of them invited me to serve as the special guest of honor. And I spoke extensively about the benefits of AI application in academia and also the challenges. This is one of the challenges. One of the challenges of AI in academia is today the entire project, if care is not taken, students do not need to write their thesis the way and manner we did at the time that even internet was not available on our campuses. When we wrote our thesis, we were going to the university library. No books online. Internet was very limited at that time. If I could recall, the availability of internet at that time was not more than VC's office, computer center. Even computer center was fluctuated. There was no internet. And I could not recall one student with access to internet during our undergraduate days. So at that time, our entire thesis relied on our university library, depending on our physical journals, physical books to conduct your research. There was no significant advancement in even AI. But today, any question you ask your children, you will see them on Google. Google itself is a search engine, and that search engine is using artificial intelligence. Google is AI. They will just search and they will tell you many things immediately. Within 5 seconds is sufficient for them. They will go before a medical doctor. He is asking questions. They are answering. He is diagnosing their problem and they are reviewing his answers on their Google. They are searching to see whether he is right or not. Because they are digital natives. Definitely one of the challenges of AI, it will make our, if care is not taken, it will make our younger ones to become too lazy when it comes to intellectual issues. Because what we used to do in academia, 90% can be done using AI today. Simply look at the leading technology companies in the world today, they have their AI. Microsoft, you have Microsoft AI. Google, you have Google AI. They are switching to AI. Of recent, even Facebook Meta, there is Meta AI. Even on your teeth, using your WhatsApp, you can see Meta AI. And it allows you to ask questions and get answers immediately. Sometimes, it will answer, if you are a public figure, you will realize that it knows you better than how you know yourself. So to me, firstly, the way and manner we should handle this, number one, is to be morally upright. Any challenge given to us by our teachers and lecturers that requires our intellect, we need to use our intellect. You may wish to go online and conduct research. Anything that at least you benefit from it, ensure that it is cited academically. You have to acknowledge the source. Use your language, use your intellect, and also do the best you can and pray to the Almighty Allah to help you. Secondly, also our teachers in secondary schools and universities are becoming too lazy as well. Otherwise, if you give any assignment to your students or thesis, at least you need to verify, even superficially, whether it is their own work or they rely on AI to generate and submit. But many do not do that. Some they even find it difficult to even open a booklet and assess their students. They don't do that. They only assess the students from the booklet. If they like you, you get A. If they don't like you, you fail the course. And this is a clear injustice. Are you following? So, students and teachers must be responsible enough to do the right thing. As students, we must be morally upright and be responsible. Any assignment given to us to do that. If you generate any input from AI, acknowledge that. And don't allow AI to do the whole work for you. You have to acknowledge, even in your methodology, what you have done. All these things are very important. Our religion is about fairness, justice, and morality. Anything you cited, acknowledge it. Our teachers, they should ensure that they go beyond relying on the papers submitted, but rather go online and verify. If you give them, ask AI, use different applications of AI, get a sample answer, keep with them. If they use the same thing, you will be able to know. So AI sometimes is making irresponsible people to become so lazy. But those that are intellectually sound, it makes them more effective. Because you have to verify. To me, this is some of the stages that we need to follow. Self-regulation by students. Teachers regulation by the teachers that teach them to ensure that they investigate and ensure this submission is from them. And Allah knows best. If you need further detail, if you go online, you will be able to get the lecture I presented as a keynote speaker for the conference. Is available online, particularly on the social media handles and YouTube channel being managed by my younger ones that we work together, inshallah. In that lecture I spoke on a larger scale. You will find more explanation there now.
And provide copies of his report as well as give a practical action to undertake to achieve this pleasure in the past. Is it possible to follow his guide as such?
I think the second question is also,
he says, how can we use AI models? How can AI models be trained to examine personal sensitivity among those required also avoid biases and transparency with education?
If I understand your question correctly, particularly the two questions, on the first one, if you are not Islamically knowledgeable enough, if you are not sound in Islamic knowledge, I am of the opinion that it is not good for you to rely on AI to give you fatwa. Why? As I earlier mentioned, the answer AI gives you depends on the data presented to it by the one who develops it. If he is a non-Muslim, so definitely, and at the same time not just and fair, the data he is to upload will not be fair and just to Islam and Islamic teachers. AI can only be deployed in a situation where you know the answer. And you only want to use AI to test. And AI will not in any way make you to switch your position from yes Islamically to no Islamically or no Islamically to yes Islamically, but only to support you to get more evidences if available. But AI will not in any way make a Muslim to change his position that he has taken because of the explanations of our pious predecessors with regards to the teachings of the Quran and Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Majma'ul Fiqh al-Islami, in their sitting of 13 September 1988, they are of the opinion that technology should not be the source of accepting our religious teachings or rejecting them. They should only be the foundation in which we get more support to back up our position, not in any way to change our position. Because the decision being presented by technology relies solely on the data presented to that technology. If the data contains bias, definitely there is going to be bias in the answer. And if the data presented is sufficient and very fair and just, then the answer is going to be sufficient, fair and just. Technology should not be the foundation of switching from yes to no or no to yes religiously. Technology cannot in any way replace our religious teachings and cannot in any way replace our teachers in the Quran and Sunnah, those that are presenting to us the opinions of our pious predecessors, but only to complement what they teach, not to change our position. There are so many evidences to support that even in the Quran and in the Sunnah. However, there is no time to speak on it on a larger scale. Furthermore, as I earlier mentioned, how can we avoid the bias? How can we avoid the bias of AI? Firstly, responsible Muslims should also become AI developers. It's very important. Number two, in the course of developing AI, we must ensure that we are inclined to the ethics of our religion, of fairness and justice, and at the same time, the quality of objectivity. If we do that, we will be able to develop AI that is free from bias, inshallah. And Allah knows best.
I want to thank the intelligence of the attendee because of time factor and the richness of the lecture. I think if we are continuing out the question, we are going to take another hour. And this will also prolong the day of set here. You want to take the intelligence?
You can add one or two, maximum one or two. One might is okay.
This one is saying, someone who we have had what you have said, what are the programming that now is available to AI developers? And this one is saying, how can you train your machine to be prepared from items to differentiate from having a college?
To differentiate?
From items that are on the first shape. Like
Apple
and Oracle, how can you
train
your machine using AI to be
precious? So two questions. These are technical questions. Number one, so far, there is not any programming language that is dedicated for AI development. However, all high-level programming languages that are object-oriented have features that AI developers require to develop. Firstly, high-level programming languages, and two, object-oriented languages. These two, if you choose any one, you will discover that they have features that AI developers require to develop. I will give you at least three examples. Number one, Python is very effective in AI development. Number two, Java programming language is a high level and also object oriented. Number three, C++ is a high level language and also object oriented. Number four, R programming language is a high level and object oriented. Number five, Julia is a high level language and object oriented language, particularly when it comes to statistics and mathematical computation. These five are more relevant today for AI development where programming language is required. Furthermore, people that can easily excel in AI. Number one, people that are naturally talented in mathematics. And number two, people that are naturally talented in prediction. When it comes to courses that are related to AI, all those who have studied courses that are computer science related, they are relevant to AI. Courses that are related to mathematics are relevant to AI. Courses that are associated to statistics, they are relevant to AI. However, one of the benefits of studying the fourth industrial revolution, the fourth industrial revolution is very flexible. Flexibility of it allows anyone, irrespective of your discipline, to join, be passionate, and also excel. The guy who developed OpenAI was a dropout from university, Sam Altman. He's a young person, dropout. He was not able to graduate, but today he established OpenAI. Mustafa Suleiman, that I earlier mentioned, among the leading young developers of AI globally, was a dropout of university. He couldn't graduate. But he developed an AI. It was purchased at the price of over $300 million. $300 million, but he couldn't graduate. And today, he was appointed as the chief executive officer of Microsoft AI, a company with a market value of over $500 billion. Today, he is the CEO. Yet, he failed to graduate. That is why I wrote the book of skills rather than just degrees. I am not undermining your degrees, and I have at least 4 degrees. And I attended the best universities in the world. I was in Harvard, I was in Oxford, I was in MIT and IDB. I was in the University of Cambridge. I attended all of them with all sense of humility. However, what makes our parents to be successful and our elders to be successful, at that time, degree played a significant role. Today, degree gives you more recognition. It makes you more relevant.